Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. This is the Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. We've got a wonderful guest on the show today. It is Daniel Brown, and Daniel is host of the You, Me, Bitcoin podcast. He's been in the space since back in 2012. I'll let him tell his story a bit more, but he's got a fantastic show there, guys. A lot of subscribers, a lot of follows, and somebody who I'm very interested in interviewing, having a chat with, and putting out to you guys for the simple purpose that he does come with a lot of experience being there from a very early point in the game and speaking with a lot of people across his show. So Daniel, thanks, mate. It's great to have you on the show. You want to tell the guys a bit about yourself?
Oh, yeah. Great to be here. It's nice to be on the other side of the interview where I don't have to ask the questions, so I get to relax. But the show that I do is You, Me, and BTC. And we've been doing it about 5 years, as we were just saying before we started recording. And It's just for fun, you know. We hang out and we call it a Liberty and Bitcoin podcast. We talk a lot about liberty stuff and philosophy and politics or whatever we feel like, but it is super laid back. We just have fun, we laugh a lot, and we have some fun guests. And that's what I do. And it just, same as Bitcoin, just started doing it because it just seemed fun. And that's pretty much what I tell people whenever they ask how I got into Bitcoin. It just seemed interesting. I was actually in high school at the time, and a friend heard about it and just, oh, cool. All right, let's see what it's like. Let's find out. And it just kept going and going and going, and I'm still around. It's fun.
Well, look, the link for your podcast, You, Me, and BTC.com will be there for everybody cool. to grab a hold of and go across. So that's all good for all the people listening. And look, from my point of view, I mean, you're definitely somebody who I'm interested to talk to for a number of reasons. One of which is that, as I was saying before, prior to hitting record, and all of my subscribers and listeners will know that essentially I've come into this space relatively recently. I've been a traditional trader for many, many years. Structured trading approach. And when I say trading, I'm a trader of technical analysis, but I am also an investor, both in cryptocurrency, tech companies, mining. I've done quite a bit in that space. Now, I'm pretty much focused on cryptocurrency at the moment, just because I guess having studied markets for the amount of time that I have, I mean, I started trading when I was, 22, I think I started trading, but started investing at 16 years old. So I've been very, basically a student of the markets since a very, very young age. And I sort of recognize what an emerging market looks like and some of the hallmarks, some of the things to look out for, some of the things to be aware of. And I've seen all of those very exciting things within the cryptocurrency space and blockchain technology as a general industry, and sort of just realize this, you know, it's not very often where you get the opportunity where you have the right set of skills at the right time. And that seems to have come together for me right now. And obviously you're in the same position there, Daniel. I didn't stumble across Bitcoin. It was something that I'd sort of neglected for a long time because it didn't have the volumes for me to be trading. But now it's certainly evolved into a absolutely amazing space. And I mean, when it comes to your involvement in the space, are you primarily an investor, or do you do a bit of trading as well? Or how would you sort of position yourself?
I'm pretty much the old-fashioned hodler. I mean, I just have Bitcoin. And I do, you know, I dabble in altcoins once in a while. I'll see an ICO that interests me. And I'll have a little bit and hold it and try to find a fun time to sell it, you know, a few months later, or not sell it and hold it for a year or two. So, you know, a tiny bit of trading, but I by no means a professional or an expert or anything like that. I'm more or less just holding it, loving it, and trying to use it as much as possible.
Well, that's unreal, because look, there's a couple of things there that I think you know I get frustrated with a little bit, and it's the sentiment of it. I mean, yes, using the tokens, the cryptocurrency, the tokens, whatever, however you want to describe it, that's an integral part of the success of the space. You know, when I'm looking at investments, I'm looking at the utility of the token. Is it actually aligned with a successful outcome of the business, or is this just a straight up money grab? Being able to use the tokens and have a reason for them to exist is an incredibly important part of the investment decision process making for me. So you're sort of more of a longer term sort of guy. And in your experience, I mean, as far as taking profits, have you, and I ask this to everybody, have you moved much from your crypto bank into your dollar bank?
No. I mean, it's been an interesting question with tax season around. I've been thinking about that a lot. And fortunately, the answer is no. I don't really have to pay taxes right now because I just have Bitcoin and that's about it. I mean, even when I spend it, it's a few bucks here and a few bucks there. I just have Bitcoin. So
yeah, that makes sense. And it's evolving. And I think the thing that a lot of people are a bit nervous about, and especially I've got a few very close friends of mine that they were very early in the space, such as yourself. And of course, they have seen those very large gains. And a lot of the exchanges that they purchased their Bitcoin, their Ethereum, their other tokens that were around back then that are still around today, was on exchanges and platforms that no longer exist. So therefore, it's kind of like they're sort of sitting around going, well, you know, they pulled them off, they put them in a MyEther wallet or whatever it was that they've got it stored off the exchange. The exchange has gone under and vanished. And now they're kind of like, well, I'm not sure what to do because we know in Australia right now, I know we've got different rules and regulations in both countries. I'm not as familiar in the US as I am in Australia, but I know that a lot of them are kind of a little bit concerned about showing their hand because what is actually known out there as to what their assets are and what is not. And there's talk I know all around the world of trying to tax crypto gains without actually establishing those gains. So in the investment world, if I buy XYZ share for $10,000 and then I sell it at $20,000, then my capital gain is $10,000. And then there will be a tax bracket that I will need to pay on that $10,000 profit. But it needs to be realized. If my shares go from $10,000 to $20,000 and I haven't sold them, there's no tax to pay because I haven't realized those profits. So they're trying to, there's whispers out there, there's talk out there, they're trying to tax around unrealized profits. And that's just not practical. It's still a very gray area.
That's where our liberty bent comes in. We will have a great time every week just making fun of taxes. We don't need these. And I could definitely see how that's a problem, you know, with, I've heard stories of people just even with realizing their gains and then having to owe taxes, and now they have to sell more Bitcoin when it's lower this year in order to pay taxes. It's crazy.
It's one of those things, as I said before, about being able to spot an emerging market. And this is one of those markets that there's a lot of things. Like, for example, if I compare the software that I have to trade other instruments that I have done in the past to the software that is available for trading tokens, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like the first day of school compared to the last day of your PhD. There's a huge void there, which is both frustrating in one regard, but also that's where the opportunity lies. Of course, the opportunity lies in the fact that there's still a lot to be developed, and that's there's a huge amount in this business that that needs to be filled out, and that it's just looking for the right people, the right projects, and the right teams to do that, and that's very exciting.
Yeah, I would totally agree. There is so much to be done, and I was saying just on our last show about a week ago that as long as I've been here, I still am every day realizing how much we need Bitcoin, how much we want it, how much we want to use it, and how much development there is still to come. And it's every day, it's like, wow, I can't believe, like, I really need Bitcoin today, or need to use Bitcoin, or I need this for Bitcoin, or I need that for Bitcoin. And I can't wait to have all that.
I'm with you, mate. Coming back to the point about the irrational toddler type market, you know, you spoke of it being like a 2-year-old throwing their toys out of the pram, being completely emotional and silly. you know, coming back to, I mean, if you actually take your time, and one of the things I've learned in business and trading by having some fantastic mentors over the years is, you know, I'll speak to people that have taken a business that was turning over $1 million, and then 3 years later that it's turning over $100 million. And the question is always the same. The question is, what was the point at which you went from $1 million turnover to $100 million turnover? And every single one of them, if not in these exact words, is something along the lines of the moment you take yourself out of the business and start working on the business, you can start to see what you need to do. Now, the problem that I think that a lot of people have in crypto is they don't have that perspective. They don't know how to take themselves out of all the noise, all the volatility, all the movements, Blockfolio.
yeah.
You know, they don't take themselves outside of it. They're too interested in their Twitter, their Facebook, their Slack groups, their Telegrams, their Discords, that they would listen and buy into all the crap that's out there without actually getting that perspective and going, well, actually, what is going on? Well, the Lightning Network's rolled out. So that's made Bitcoin transactions affordable again. And quick.
Right.
What else is going on? All these new investors are coming into the space. Big traditional hedge funds, big traditional businesses, Deloitte's, Goldman Sachs, you know, some of the biggest names in the business. You know, you've got Bill Gates standing behind Bitcoin and saying it's fantastic. I mean, they're not looking at the developments of the sector. All they're looking at is what some two-bit idiot is saying on Twitter who's got no idea, or they're looking at their Blockfolio. And I think that they're really missing the viewpoint, which is perspective and the amazing growth that is available in this sector. And, you know, that's what we sort of cover a lot within the podcast. I do a daily show. It's usually a 10-minute bit of a rant, and then I throw in these interviews with guests and whatnot just to try and help people to get that perspective and understand what is, not what it feels like.
Yeah, it's funny. We joke on the show a lot about how, you know, every single day these TA people are coming in and like, well, it's there's this resistance and that resistance and it could go up or it could go down. And I mean, more power to them. If whatever you can do, try to play the market and make money, have fun. But I totally agree. If you can step back and scroll past an article that says Bitcoin went below 8,000 yesterday, and scroll past it and instead read how they're rolling out Lightning Network, that's a lot of fun.
Well, that's where the difference is. I mean, look, I try and divide my time between two things. One is I'm a trader. So I'm a trader and I believe that, you know, everybody should have a little bit of trader in them if they're an investor, if they truly want to be a, you know, fund manager. And when I say fund manager, I don't mean out there managing other people's funds. I mean your own. Because at the end of the day, markets do fluctuate. They do go up and they do go down. Having the trading ability allows us to know a bit of a good idea as to when we might want to take some profits. But also when the market starts to fall, we can also hedge our portfolio. So we try and cover both. But I'm very much with you on that, mate. When it comes to fundamentals, when it comes to investing, that needs to be a different cap that you wear to trading. Trading is short term, right, in my view. I'm reading charts. I'm fairly structured in my approach. But with investing, look, I've ridden through this last, you know, downturn, and I've not had a single concern at all. People are like, oh, they're freaking out, they're, you know, having all this worry. I've never been more confident. I've not sold a single time, yeah, and I'm buying more.
Yeah, I mean, it's you get so used to it after being in it here for 5 years, watching it. The first time I bought, well, it must have been around $30, and you watch it go up to 200 and then crash back to like 80, something like that. And that's happened several times since then. So yeah, 6,000, 7,000, you don't even notice. It's just a number and you're not worried about a thing. I mean, in a certain sense, you know, there's a lot of people on like social media who worry about complacency. You don't want to get complacent. You don't want to just sit there and say, whatever, it's all okay. I don't want to be complacent, but at the same time, I'm complacent. You know, we're all right. We're hanging in there. Yeah, it could go to nothing, but we're hanging in there and it probably won't go to nothing. So
I think that's the beauty of having perspective, mate. If you've got that perspective, I don't think that's being complacent. I think complacency comes from a lack of understanding, a lack of education, and just saying everything's always going to be fine. The type of people out there that spend all day talking about moon Lambos and all that sort of crap that's in the space, I find that to be, you know, if I don't have any Slack groups apart from my own and one other that I work within, just simply because I don't. Like, people say, oh, have you watched this video, Craig? What do you think of this person? What do you think of this person? What do you think? And honestly, I mean, I'll tell you this, Daniel. For me, and this is not an arrogant statement by any stretch of the imagination, as a trader, you spend a lot of time learning about yourself and learning about what works for you. So much time, effort, and money that when you actually find something that works, you realize that it's not actually anything to do with anybody else other than yourself. So therefore, I couldn't give two hoots about what anybody else is doing. I want to listen to the biggest guys in the space. I want to hear what they're saying, but generally they're speaking sense towards fundamentals and the long-term growth of the space. I'm not interested in somebody else who's showing me their charts. It's not to say they're not good at what they do at all. It's just to say that's not my, you know, that's not my game. I do what I do and I'm good at it, you know. Work to your strengths.
Yeah, that'll happen. I think you said, you know, decade or so of experience on your end, and I'm learning that. I'm still young. I'm still in my day job is as a web developer, but I'm learning how important experience is. That now that I've been here for this long, it's you understand a lot more and you can accomplish things a lot faster, a lot more efficiently, a lot more cleanly. And it's a learning experience to see that, well, it's an experience to learn that experience matters.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's huge.
That is literally my tagline for my company, for my logo, because experience matters.
Yeah. It's huge.
So, I mean, have you, I know you said you sort of got into Bitcoin when you were at school. So obviously I can't imagine that you would have had too much other investing experience, just because why would you bother with anything else when this market's done so well?
Right.
For you? Is that right?
Yep. That's pretty accurate. I haven't. I mean, today I still don't have a ton of investment experience. I mean, I have Bitcoin and I have a little bit of a traditional kind of tax investment account. And that's about it.
All right. Well, that's fine. I think that's it is a very young space. It's very dynamic. And the fact that you're a bit of an OG being there from the early days and you've got your experience. I mean, what you see in a crypto year, you often see two cycles of a 7-year period in traditional markets. So your learning curve is quite increased just because of virtue of the fact that we're in cryptocurrency. It's a steep learning curve.
Right.
So you've got to be switched on. You're obviously going through that. So look, a question I've got for you, mate, for my viewers out there, or viewers, this is a podcast. what advice? I know it's fairly broad, and we'll try and narrow it a little bit more. But what sort of advice would you give if somebody's looking to enter into Bitcoin? What would be, or Bitcoin crypto? You know, we say Bitcoin because that's sort of the Google search word, right? You know, what advice would you give somebody entering into this market at the moment? Not so much about what to buy and what to sell, but as far as what do you think some of the crucial aspects for a new entry into the market are to understand before they get started or as they get started?
Yeah, great question. We do actually at the end of every show, we try to fit in a little advice of the week segment, and it can be literally anything. I think one thing that comes up a lot is just patience. Well, obviously this goes for anything. Don't invest more than you can afford to lose. That's pretty straightforward and pretty obvious. But of course, that actually, people don't think of this, but that applies to dollars just as much as Bitcoin. So you have to wonder, like, well, if I keep all my money in dollars, it's going to lose value every single year. So yeah, you might not want to be invested in dollars. So that's one thing to remember. But yeah, patience is a big one, and learning is huge. I don't think there's very many people that would disagree with this. So I feel pretty comfortable saying that you should understand what you're investing in. Read how it works. Read why it matters. That's a big one. Why not just the technology, but why we need the technology. Because like I said just a second ago, I'm still learning that every day, why I want and need Bitcoin. So learn what the problems are that it's solving and how it solves them. And that'll get you a long way towards, you know, towards being invested in it, towards wanting to be invested in it, and towards loving it. Even when the price goes down, you're still going to love it. You're still going to want it. You're still going to need it if you know why it matters to you. And to me, a lot of that goes back to the liberty perspective. Like I mentioned, it gives me freedom. And I love that. So that's why I need it. That's why I want it. That's why I follow it and use it. And, you know, there's a lot of other things too. It even just simple stuff, like there's a hard cap at 21 million. That's a pretty good value prospect there. And the fact that it can cross borders, that's a pretty good value prospect there. So learn all of that stuff, learn why that matters and how it accomplishes that, and you'll be so much more comfortable being invested in it.
Mate, I think that's bang on. The understanding, the education, the patience, this is something that I preach the whole time. You just got to be careful there, Daniel, because you sound like a seasoned investor with about 30 years experience under your belt there, mate. So just be careful where you go with that one.
All right.
That advice is very sound across all markets. And like I said before, I think it proves the point of what I was suggesting about within a Bitcoin year, we typically see two cycles of traditional markets play through. So you've been there, and a cycle is usually 5 to 7 years. This last bull run in traditional markets is venturing into its 9th year, hence why I believe there'll be a correction. So, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you've obviously been through a lot of ups and downs yourself, as have I, but I've had to do it through a larger period of time through traditional markets. Cryptocurrency is a fantastic place to be. The technology, I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, people that are looking for fancy technology, they're looking for the wrong things. It's one thing to have fancy technology. It's another thing to have a use for it. And again, it comes back to the utility token as well, from an investment point of view. Does the token need to exist for this business? Because you might, as you know, when you're buying a token, you're not actually buying equity. So the positive outcome of that particular business is not necessarily, unless it's linked to the token, it's not, your outcome of the token is not underlined by the successful outcome of the business. So you got to be careful there as well, that people in business, they're looking for a cheap, fast, and efficient way to raise capital. And what's happened now is that in this blockchain environment, all you have to do is, you know, put it on the blockchain, raise an ICO in a bull market, and you've got nearly as much money as you need. And I like to see a little bit of the community becoming a bit more wise to that, because at the end of the day, it is your decision, it is your money. And, you know, people look at it and go, oh, you know, I've made 60 Ethereum on that trade. So, you know, I'll put 30 over there and just see how I go, because it's the market's money. That's a very, very poor attitude to have. I mean, we all work for the money, whether we spend 1 hour to make $100,000 or we spend 1 hour to make $10. We've given time for that reward. Now, whether that's in cryptocurrency, dollars, or whatever currency that you want to talk about, that needs to be viewed as your currency, and therefore your first job is to maintain it, is to keep a hold of it. And having that attitude about, you know, just flippantly throwing it at things without really knowing, just following trends in the sense of, oh, enough people have said this is good, so therefore it must be good. I think people they're falling in gaps there. So yeah, definitely well spoken there, mate. It's really important to understand what it is that you're getting involved with. So bravo.
Yeah, I can speak with my own experience to the same kind of story. I mean, I've put money in stuff just because I thought I had the money and see what happens. Fortunately, I haven't really lost anything. But what ends up happening is I put in a decent amount of time, you know, whether it's to a token or a project, and I put in a decent amount of time to setting it up and tracking it and tracking some trades and stuff. And in the end, I really did end up just breaking even because there wasn't much there to begin with. So yeah, like you said, you got to know what you're investing in, why it matters, and and patience then.
Yeah, patience is the big one. And I mean, like with I do have a series of courses that I provide to people that want to do them. And it's a structured approach through from your emotion, your routine, to how to manage your business, how to take your screenshots, the checklist to actually find a trade. And everything's very structured, because I've become a very structured person in my trading. Because for me, my personality is fairly spontaneous, fairly flippant, whereas that doesn't work in trading. So I've had to create a sort of an alter ego as a trader to be successful, and I've managed to do that with a lot of hard work. So what I can do is I can provide discipline in the form of a checklist. I can provide routine in the form of explaining why it's important, but I can't make anybody disciplined. I cannot make you be patient. So that comes down to self, you know. If you want to be successful, if you want to do well in anything in life, you've got to find a good teacher, a good mentor. You've got to do the right things and focus on what the good people are doing, not on their results. And I think in the space at the moment, everybody's so concerned about watching their block follow every day, they're really missing out on the opportunities to learn and educate themselves. Like 3 months of putting some solid time into any discipline in this space, it's a huge benefit, because when things do start to happen again, or even before they start to happen, because where we are right now, it's a phenomenal time to be doing the learning, because we have got the market at a lower point. I do truly believe that we will see this market move very, very well once again. And it's just about trying to position yourself so that when it does go, you're able to capitalize on that the best. So...
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. Right. Well, I think I kind of covered all the questions that I wanted to there. I typically try and keep these shows to about half an hour or so. If there's one more thing I can ask you,
all right.
What I want to know is there, like, I think you kind of covered it, but is there three, if you can give, whether it's 3, 4, 5, or 1, what would you say when you're looking at a token to invest in? So you're reading the white paper, you're viewing the Telegram group, whatever it is. I don't know, however you do it, everyone's got their own way of doing it. What would be the crucial things that you're looking for? I think you've got to cover it a bit in terms of understand what it's about, but is there anything in specific that you think is worthwhile mentioning to wrap it up?
Yeah, so I could list a few things. One of the ones I like is the privacy coins. Now, again, maybe that's just me, but maybe that's just my liberty perspective, but I greatly, greatly, greatly value my privacy. So I've been pretty interested in things like Dash, Monero, Zcoin, Zen or Zcash, and Zencash, stuff like that. Now, again, this is my own mistake. I know I need to do more research on them. I'm not an expert on how they all work, and I know I just said you should understand how they work. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, and I recognize that I might not, you know, be understanding them fully, and so they might not work out for me. But that is one thing that I absolutely love and that I absolutely look for. And we have seen those coins perform extremely well over the past few years, I think, because of their privacy. That's something they can legitimately offer. Another thing that I've just been interested in, this at its root, this is just utility, but a lot of people don't see it that way. And that is, for me, it's a card game, Spells of Genesis. There's cards that live on the blockchain. That has fascinated me for years now. And part of the reason I give that value is because I've seen people obsessed with traditional card games, physical card games. I've seen collectibles trade for a ton of money. And I think I've recognized, hopefully correctly, but that all remains to be seen. I think I've recognized that the blockchain offers a ton of value to the idea of collectibles. Now, you got to be careful, because just like with physical cards, they can print more, and that, you know, that you, they could dilute the value of your cards. Depending on what you're getting invested in on the blockchain, some cards, you know, I mostly use counterparty cards. Some of them are locked, but they might make similar cards. Some of them might work for a game, but the game might not be very well developed and it might disappear in a few months. So you got to watch out for that. I'm not saying any trading card on the blockchain is great. I'm just saying that I think it's a great idea, and it's something I've tracked and watched and been interested in. So those are, let's see, first two things would be privacy and this idea of collectibles on the blockchain. I love that. And can I get three?
Go for it, mate.
All right, let's see. What can I say? I guess the other thing that I've made decisions based on, again, I don't know how accurate it is, but I've tried to stick to, I guess we'll just say, proven coins. Like I said, I think I said at the beginning that I don't really get into these big hype ICOs. I don't really get into, you know, ICOs, the initial offering. I try not to get around that hype. What I look for is these coins that have been around for a while that really seem to have a purpose and offer value. I'm not saying ICOs can't make you money, because, you know, if they're really valuable, then it's a great idea to get in as early as possible. But for me, I've just been at more peace looking for coins that have been there for a while, you know, Litecoin, Ethereum. I finally, just within the past year or two, have been able to diversify into those, just because they've been there, they're trustworthy, they're around, they feel pretty safe. And so I look for proven coins.
Well, that's a good pointer, actually. I had lunch with Charlie Lee last week, I think it was. Yeah, last Monday. He came to Sydney, so I went with a couple of other people and sat down for lunch with him before he sat down to an event with a few people that we know. And, it was a fascinating perspective. He's very much focused on one area, which is the transacting. And I think what you're saying there as well is that, you know, again, coming back in, you focus on what you know, which is you like to see an established business model in place that has been running. It has a reason to exist. Of course, the economics of the token is important, but it becomes trusted just because it's been around for a little while. The Litecoins, the Ethereums, like the Dash, you know, Dash, Monero. These IOTs kind of creeping into that sphere now. I think it seems to have, it's had its pumps, but it's holding its value. And it seems to be doing good things. And then you've got a lot of other ones that are out there. Like, I'm not sure if you've heard about it, but Power Ledger, which is a Perth-based company here in Australia, looking at the energy sector and whatnot, doing some really good things there as well. Again, a token that has a reason for existing. And again, you know, something else, with your Liberty type side of things, I think if you haven't looked into it already, I would strongly suggest that you have a look at a company called Horizon State. They're basically voting on the blockchain. It fits both from a token economics point of view, from a business model point of view, from a let's change the world point of view. So I think it would tick a lot of the boxes for the things that would be of interest to you. It might not be something you wish to invest in, but it's definitely something I think you'd be interested in. And I can tell you from my point of view, I'm very good friends with Jamie Skeller, the CEO, and I'm very, very, very happy with the talent within their group as well. So I think what you just said, the three points, you know, the privacy coins, the collectibles, and what was the third one? Privacy, collectibles, and the third?
Proven. Proven. Anything that's been around.
I think that's pretty wise, fairly safe. I know that, you know, I do speak with other people that specialize in ICOs, and they've got their way. I specialize in trading, so I've got my way. And I think, sort of to wrap things up, I think it's quite important for everybody out there who's listening is to understand that you don't need to be a jack of all trades. You do need to have an understanding for a broad range across the marketplace. And the reason you need to have a good understanding is so that you can actually find what you're good at. Now, for me, when I started trading, I started swing trading, longer time frames, daily and weekly time frames. And then I moved into intraday trading. And it wasn't until I did both that I could work out what I was best structured and aimed towards to move into the markets that suited my personality and my style and the way that my brain works. So to have an understanding across all spectrums is important. But once you find what you want to be good at that gels with you, you need to find the resources and throw yourself at it head first. And that's why there's podcasts like this one, the Trader Cobb Crypto Show, and the podcast You, Me, and BTC, for which you can join up. Link will be underneath the podcast here. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, Dan, or Daniel. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to call you Dan, Mr. Brown, perhaps, out of what's it called? You
get
called
Mr. Brown. It's all great.
Reservoir Dogs. That's what I was thinking, Mr. Brown. Anyway, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, mate. Thank you for your insights. And if you ever want to have a interview me, I'd be more than happy to come across to your guys as well, mate.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's been a blast to be here, and I will definitely be trying to catch some of your episodes to learn more about your world. It's
Thanks
great.
Very much, Daniel Brown, from You, Me, and BTC.com, the podcast. Have a great day, mate, and thanks to everybody there. Cheers, guys. Bye.
the Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. Check out TraderCobb.com because experience matters.